Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
My board is all messed up. Welcome to Terrify Radio. I was trying to play something, but it didn't work. I'm the Mouth from the South, the Paranormal Outlaw, and joining me as always is Jody Parks. What's going on, Jody?
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. It's snowing here. Okay. Not happy about that.
Snowing, huh?
Yeah. Sucks. I'm done with the snow. I'm over it. It needs to just go away. Go away. I'm serious.
Well, how was your week?
Good. I've gotten a lot of stuff done, actually. Finally, I can talk about it. Oh, my God. So Chris Lean and I have been working on building this website. Well, he's been working on it. It was my idea. I went to him and said, hey, I have this idea, you know, and I just can't get anybody to, like, take me serious on it. And he said, I can do it for you. And I, you know, was going to pay him. And he said, heck no, man, I'm going to be your partner. And so I said, okay. And so him and I finally let the cat out of the bag. We haven't launched it completely, but we started a new company, and it's called Ghost Cameras. And the whole purpose of it is to basically help bring funds into these locations. And also, inside the site is going to be really cool. People are going to be able to have usernames, and they'll be able to watch the cameras. And if they see, like, a shadow person, they'll be able to hit a button, and it'll back up and save it. And if it is a real piece of evidence, that user will get the credit for collecting that piece of evidence. So over a long period of time, over a two-year period of time, we're going to be documenting inside locations. And so we start our first one within the next 2 weeks, and we should probably have these people on our show. It's Rhodes Hotel in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And so check out one of the claims is that there is some type of shadow figure that crawls down the hall, actually crawls up the wall and onto the ceiling. Like, people have seen this happen.
Wow.
Yeah. So that, you know, and I haven't heard that from just one person. I've heard that from several people that have been there and said, you know, that the place is a great place. So we're going to get cameras up in there in the next 2 weeks. And then I'm actually getting ready to announce that I'm heading up there on March the 1st. And I am going to launch the cameras and go up there and try and push the website and get people interested. And there's going to be a murder mystery that night, the second night that I'm there. And so I'm going to attend that. But then from that, I ended up getting a mansion. Like, I got a phone call today, and I got this mansion in town that has a huge piece of history, and I get to film there as well and stay there for a couple nights.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. And I was on Coast to Coast on Sunday night with George Norrie. He launched it for me.
Sweet.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, I had a good last couple days. I had no idea that Chris was going to launch it. He just launched it and didn't even tell me, and I was like, okay, I guess it's time. So I'm pretty excited about the ghost cameras because it's something that I've wanted to do for a really long time, like 5 years or something. I just couldn't find a web designer who could do it. You know,
mm-hmm.
do the programming that it needed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the great thing is that Chris and I aren't just going to stop on this company. We're also creating two other companies.
Mm-hmm.
So that we'll be releasing another company probably in the spring. And...
Mm-hmm.
Then after that one, then we'll start working on the next one. But we're going to take it step by step. But, yeah, so we're setting up cameras at Rhodes Hotel. And the other location that we're going to be setting up cameras is Farrar, one of my favorite places to hunt. So, and they have a Shadow Man as well. So, and both of these places also have poltergeist activity, objects moving. So to actually have cameras, we have four cameras set up at each one when it's completely launched. For 2 years, we're going to collect a lot of stuff, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, I'm really hoping that the sites do well so that these places are making money, and they can keep making improvements to the places and help them survive, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
And
so I'm pretty excited about that.
That's badass.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. I have, and there's a possibility they might be broadcasting this week, but I'm not sure. We're working on that. But I have a new show that's coming to the network.
Oh,
on
yay.
Saturday night. Yeah. And these guys, they were guests on Full Spectrum Radio, and I've talked to them. They're really cool, but they're controversial in the sense that they're called the Debunker Boys, and what they do, they're paranormal investigators, whatnot. But they take supposed evidence that people put out there on the internet, right? And they analyze it and whatnot, and they debunk it.
Send them my ghost box fantasy and ask them how my ghost box asked me for a blowjob. I'd like to know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and see what they do, though. They just don't discredit. If it's legit evidence, they give credit to the person that collected that data. What they're trying to do is prove, because there's a lot of teams out there that either they don't know what they're doing, or whatever that might be, and they put out evidence, supposed evidence, that actually can be explained. And that's where they get controversial, you know, and there's a lot of people that's giving them hate mail. And I said, hey, come on our network. Controversy is our name. Go for it, you know?
That's right.
And,
that's right. They found you right home.
So I want to. They have their own podcast, but it's not really on a network type thing. It's on Spreaker, and they've done a few episodes on that. And I said, hey, bring it to Blog Talk, and take it on Saturday nights and do your own show. You know, so and they're really laid back. They're funny as hell too. They're going to be joining the family. They might be broadcasting this Saturday. Don't know for sure. We're trying to get all that worked out so that I can set up their show page and whatnot. But, yes, we have a show that's going to start Saturday, so all I've got left to do is fill Friday nights, and we'll be on 7 days a week. So, yeah, I had some good news, too.
That is great news. That's great news. And, I look forward to speaking with them. And, I would love for them to debunk some of my stuff, because I'd love some answers about that freaking ghost box, because let me just tell you, it freaked me out a little bit last week, okay? There are things that people don't know about me that I don't talk about, that I work with certain people. And, it's kind of like just stuff you can't talk about. But I kind of help people privately on certain situations, and I did something that was very gruesome, and I took my ghost box to try and make, contact, and my ghost box kind of spit out some stuff that the people kind of came back and said, how the hell? And I said, the demons inside. I don't know, dude. You know what I mean? I sure would like to know more. I really would. And you know what? I'm glad David's coming on tonight, because he's a complete skeptic of the ghost box. And, he has his reasons why. And then there's people like me who, I was not a believer, but I became a believer, that I do believe that spirits do use it to try and communicate. And if you pay attention really close, you're gonna receive messages. So,
right. And
I'd love to hear what these guys have to say about it, too. Maybe they don't like the ghost box.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to they're definitely coming on our show. I told them I wanted them to come on my Sunday show and my Tuesday show so that they can promote their show and gives us an opportunity to get to know them a little bit more and interview them. So I just got to set up the dates. But speaking of that, we do have David Roundtree tonight as our guest. And David's a great guy. He's been in the paranormal community for many, 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 many years, longer than Jody and myself. And he does some really great things, does a lot of scientific research into paranormal phenomena, and he's got a lot of great things that are happening for him this upcoming year. And he's written a book, Paranormal Technology, or Technology in the Paranormal. Let me get the actual deal here. Paranormal Technology, Understanding the Science of Ghost Hunting. And you can find out more about David at www.spinvestigations.org. So we're going to, and I believe he's on hold, so let's get him on so we can give him all kinds of hell.
I'm holding.
David, are you there? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
What's going on, man?
Oh, man, just freezing my ass off and listening to y'all. Typical night. What can I say?
You getting snow where you're at, too?
We're supposed to get it tomorrow. There's like the governor's already declared a state of emergency before it's even hit. We've already got about a foot and a half on the ground. And we're supposed to get a pretty hardcore blizzard tomorrow. So, you know, that's where it is.
Yeah, a lot of my relatives, my aunt and uncle, they live up in Verona, New Jersey. So, yeah, they're getting it.
Well, they're going to get hit. I mean, we're just waiting now. I mean, I was just out. I went to grab something to eat, and it isn't snowing yet. But it's cold. It's like it's perfect snow weather. It's 28 degrees. There's a light wind. It's perfect snow weather. So it's supposed to hit us early in the morning, probably like 3 or 4 in the morning. And they're talking all day, so foot and a half to 2 feet on top of the foot and a half we have. So it'll be fun. The last snowfall we just had, that was the foot and a half, no one was ready for it.
Yeah, you were out there helping people, weren't you?
Well, that was the time before that. Yeah, well, I was driving actually to my ex-wife's because I didn't have any heat in the house because all the radiators had ruptured and stuff. So I was driving from here to there, and there was a car that was like wrecked on the side of the road, and there was nobody there, and the streets were closed, and it was a state of emergency. And I stopped and I called 911, and I helped them out. And, you know, the guy was bleeding pretty bad, so.
Really?
Stop, you know, put pressure on his bleeding and stuff. And then the rescue squad showed up, and I tipped my hat and hauled ass. But, yeah, I helped out. I mean, I was out in the middle of nowhere. I was like, you know what, I got to stop and help these people, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They don't even know who
I
was, and I don't
care.
About a
month ago, this guy was stuck, and everybody was just driving by him. And I was like the asshole that stopped and backed up traffic to go get out and push him. It's
yep,
like,
exactly.
All you assholes out here, you know what I mean? And a chick is out here pushing. And I'm like looking around at all these cars like, anybody want to come help me? And then finally this guy got out and helped me. It was like, thank you.
Yeah, people are dead.
Now we can move on.
Yeah. I mean, they have no idea who I was, and that's fine. You know what I'm saying? I did what I did just to help them out because, you know, if it had been me in the same situation, I would have hoped somebody would have stopped and helped me. So.
That's right.
But, yeah, it was, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
God. So my life is wonderful. Boy, Mary hit things right on the head.
Did she really?
Oh, yeah.
I've noticed that you guys are still pretty good friends. Like, you've become pretty good friends.
Yeah, oh, yeah. She's like an irritation, you know, in a good natured way. Yeah, she's kind of like athlete's feet, you know. But no, she bless her heart.
You just got
to
urine on
sweet.
Those. You just got to urine.
Oh yeah,
on those.
But
yeah.
But she's
well,
very
not in
sweet.
A little golden shower can't do. Take care
nope.
of you know.
But you know, she called it. I mean, she really called it.
What part
I mean,
of it, you think? What part?
Oh, my relationship.
Yeah?
My whole relationship thing. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm in a relationship, Jody.
Yeah, you know, you've had several lately.
Yeah, no, but those were not exactly relationships. Those were not exactly relationships.
No, this is great. She looks like a nice gal, and she seems laid back.
You know, it's so weird.
I don't know what the hell is wrong with flaky-ass chicks and why they can't just chill out. Just chill. You know what I mean? Like, they just gotta go psycho somehow, some way. I love watching all the people on Facebook go through relationships, okay? It's they change their relationships like I change my underwear. And
I
love it.
Well, they're not real relationship. They're not real relationship.
Right, but then they are at that moment.
And the thing is like, you know, I was kind of a victim of a stalker in that last one. And I had to kind of play it out until I could get the goods on her and her husband's phone number and crap like that. And to get rid of her, because I couldn't get rid of her. And she was doing all these going to the emergency room things because, you know, David broke up with me and I'm going to commit suicide stuff. And I just didn't need that as a public relations thing. So that was kind of like a nightmare that lasted for 3 months. And then I finally got all the goods on her address, her phone numbers, her husband's phone number. And that kind of ended all of it very abruptly when that happened. So I was kind of grateful for that. But no, this was really weird because Wednesday and I have been friends on Facebook for probably 5 years, but have never spoken to each other. Never spoken. I mean, I had maybe liked something she had posted once in a while. She had maybe liked something I'd posted once in a while, but we had never conversed, never chatted with each other, never posted on each other's page, never said anything. She was just there. And I don't know, she was going on a job interview, and something compelled me to say, hey, you know, good luck, break a leg, whatever. And I had never posted on her page before, and it kind of struck her as odd, too. And then the next day I was talking to her, and I, you know, I think 3 days later I said, hey, how's your job hunting coming? And she goes, oh, wow. She goes, it sucks. You know, I can't get a job right now for some reason. And we started talking, and then she posted on her page that she was going to change her oil. And, of course, that started this whole hijinks and, you know, antics of like 96 posts under I'm going to get my oil changed. And, of course, you can imagine where it went. And, you know, there was several of us involved in it. But after that, we just kept talking. And then we were talking until like 4 in the morning every night. And I have oracle. I have people in my life that are oracles. They see things for me. She does as well. They started talking to each other. They started talking to us. And we started realizing that we had all these things in common. I mean, she has a scientific background. She's a crackerjack investigator. She's into doing research. I mean, she has very similar spirituality to my own. I mean, just there's no compromise in anything that we have. It's like everything is perfect with the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the more we explored it and the more people, you know, talked to us about what they were seeing, and then we started getting flashbacks of information from, like, past lives, and we were getting the same information. And it was just weird. I mean, it was very weird, but in the same sense, it was very beautiful. And it just all kind of came together, and, you know, I'm flying out Saturday to Colorado Springs. So
that's awesome.
There you go. And she was right. It was somebody I'd never met before. And even though she was on my Facebook friends list, we had never spoke. We didn't even know each other. So it was kind of an interesting thing because I sat there as it was unfolding thinking, oh, my God, Mary was right, you know? Like I hated to say it. You know?
Yeah. Mary was very sweet and genuine person. I liked her.
Oh, she's absolutely genuine. And she's kind of good friends with Grayson Schmidt, who's a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And like, everybody that knows both of us is, like, so into what's going on because they're like, God, you guys are perfect for each other.
You know,
and
just
it's
from
scary.
Looking at her picture, she looks like a wonderful person.
She's absolutely wonderful. She's very warm. Okay. She's very nurturing. But she's a fighter, too, now. She's small. She's small. She's like, you know, like 5 foot tall. She's very, very small framed and everything. But she is a scrappy woman, and she's very strong. And, you know, she doesn't take crap off anybody, which is good, too.
She shouldn't, you know.
You know? But she's a very nurturing mother. She's
how many kids
been
does
very,
she have?
She has three.
Nice.
She has a 19-year-old daughter, a 16-year-old son, and a 5-year-old daughter.
Oh,
and
she's just like me. She's in my boat.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I've got an 18-year-old and then three little ones.
But her daughter's 19. My daughter's 19. They're already getting along. You know,
and then you have an 8-year-old, and she's got a
five-year-old. He's 9 now.
We got to give him that 9.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, he's going to be a preteen.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's at the perfect age.
Yeah,
and,
he's like, I'm a preteen, Daddy. I'm like, okay. And our kids are kind of getting along pretty good. At least our oldest daughters are like communicating back and forth and getting along real well. And it's just, it is perfect. You know, everybody that sees it, that knows it, says, oh, my God, you guys are perfect for each other. And it seems like we are.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm very, very happy with it. It's
you're
like,
happy pillies.
Yeah, I'm good. Good now. I'm all good.
Awesome. So. I'm glad.
You know what's even funnier is, like, I heard from Tracy, and Tracy's like, oh, and she's so good for you. I knew this was going to happen three months after, you know, Florida and blah, blah, blah. So that's all good. You know, everybody's good. Everything
that's
is all
good.
Healed and good.
I'm glad that you and Tracy are talking. That's great.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to be friends, and it's working out great. You know, I mean,
You know what?
I understand
a
lot now.
A good example for how people need to be. And,
well,
I have respect for that, you know?
I agree. It's a small world, and we're going to cross paths, why have any animosity or any awkwardness in doing that? I mean,
especially,
you know, I understand.
That, you know, you were so close to, and,
absolutely.
You know, you shared, a big part of your life with her, and
she's special
even if she's not with you. So I think that's wonderful.
No, and you know, her and I will always have, you know, a connection, and we'll always be
friends.
And they'll always be, you know, a very strong friendship there and everything. But, you know, I understand how everything happened and why now.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole thing makes sense to me, and it's not a big deal anymore. It's just like,
but
you know what?
Life's even when it happened, David, you handled it so well. Like, I mean, when I found out, I contacted you, and I was like, oh, my God, are you okay? And you were like, you know what? I'm okay, Jody. I'm okay, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you had some days where, you know, you were sad about it.
Oh,
and,
sure.
But overall, you really handled it with grace.
Well, I had to get my act together, too. I mean, you know, there were things in my life that I had to straighten out. Things that I had to come to grips with as well.
I understand that, dude.
and concentrating on that helped a whole lot. And it turned into kind of making me have to be kind of born again, sort of, you know. Not in the Christian aspect, but just I was just born again to, like, who I really was.
Yeah.
And that was an important thing for me to go through, and I think I had to go through the trauma of it all to do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well,
you know, the whole
thing.
Sometimes
you got to hit rock bottom before greatness will come along, because you need to learn a lesson.
Sure.
I'm a big believer in, you know, you go through what you have to learn lessons, and, the universe brings you what you need when you need it, and sometimes you're way ahead of yourself.
Sure. It sure as hell does, you know, and I want to reinforce that. It's like when you give yourself up to the universe gives back.
The universe did phenomenal work for me today. I mean, I was like urinating all over.
Oh yeah, I was I was looking at your posts and understanding that you were probably urinating all over yourself. So
I thought that was. I mean, like golden showers everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
It was like, Jody, I'm going to give you this. And it was like, hey, Jody, how about this?
Yeah.
It just kept coming all day and all night.
I know. I thought you were on like a 30-minute all-you-can-get Walmart spree. You know?
No.
You were
just
like,
David, like the mothership came in, okay? The mothership of all motherships.
That's good.
Just landed.
That's good.
And it's not what you think.
God knows you waited long enough, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that, though. It's not that.
No, I'm sure it's not that.
Just landed.
No.
Out of nowhere, and it was like, hey, make a list and check it twice. And it was like, huh? And I'm curious. So I'm not.
Well, I mean, you have so many.
Somebody else's.
You have so many landing strips for so many mother ships, it's hard to segregate out which one it could be. But I'm sure whichever one it was.
So far out there, I mean, you're going to be like, what? Shut up.
I don't know. Nothing surprises me about you anymore. So.
I know. Nothing. Dude, I mean, I get the craziest opportunities that come to me, and you know, I don't talk about a lot of them, and there's a lot I turn down because I'm just like, no thanks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, but, and it's like, you know, yeah, that's great and all, but I just don't really want to do it, and I just don't want to be a part of it. But,
yeah. You
know, some of the stuff that comes to me, I'm just like, okay, the universe just brought this to me, and I can go dive in and land in a pile of crap and tread my way out. It could be something awesome. I'm willing to jump in a pile of shit. No.
Yeah. Well, the beautiful thing about it, Jody, is we've all done it already before, so it's going to be nothing new if we land in the shit pile. So, you know, it's no surprise when it happens.
I invite failure. Failure says you're actually trying.
That's it.
That's
you giving the finger to the universe, you know.
And
it's
saying,
like, hey,
you
I'm
want
doing
this?
It.
Give me this. Or,
yeah.
I'm going to go do something bad.
Yeah. I'm still looking for that wrinkled up little paper bag that's all filled with like dead presidents, you know, on the side of the road. One day that'll happen.
Speaking of presidents, that's funny because kind of has a president has something to do with the mothership that landed. Not our president, but one of them.
Mother shit or mother ship? Oh, not our president. Okay.
Just one of the mother ships.
Oh, okay. Well, cool.
Has to do with the president.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Tell George I said hi.
I won't tell him because I won't be speaking with him.
Oh, good.
But it's an important one, I'll tell you that. And
okay,
it just came
cool.
to me, and I got a phone call and said, hey, how would you like to stay at this place for however nice you want? Excuse me? What place is this? Could you say that again? Wow.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I did get a really kick-ass location today.
Cool.
And I'm going to film there. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. And it turned out just because I am doing an event in the area. And so I just went to go invite somebody, and they were like, well, hey, this guy said that he's got this mansion and he wants you to stay there instead of getting a hotel. I was like, huh? I'm like, yeah, but I'm like got like a posse, man. You know what I mean? Like 10 people. And
cool.
The guy was like, I don't care. You can stay there and you can film there and you can go to hunt. Whatever you want.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah, that's
cool,
pretty
cool,
sweet.
Cool.
Gotta love good locations. So, hey, we were talking about you before you came on, about you not really being a big believer in the ghost box.
Well, it's not so much that. I mean, there's a couple of things that Yeah, there's a couple of things that come to mind when we start talking about ghost boxes. The whole notion of doing that began in 1979 with a device called Spiricom, which was a total fraud. Okay. The guy was making the noises, the voices using a mechanical larynx. We actually investigated it. Dr. Stephen Rourke and I independently investigated it. And then when we got together, we kind of compared notes. Dr. Rourke actually went down to Tampa, where the original Spiricom is still set up in a hangar, and he actually operated it. Of course, all it does is generate lots of god-awful noise. But he also got tapes of one of the creators making and practicing making the voices that were eventually released to the Washington Press Club. And I actually sit here. I have an original press package that was handed out in 1980 at the Washington Press Club announcing the ability to talk to the dead electronically. Of course, the whole thing was a fake and a fraud, and no one else was ever able to repeat the results that they got using the equipment, including me, who tried to replicate it and could not get it to work either. But my beef about it is this. I mean, these ghost boxes, there's two types basically out there, and they both work on the same principle. One of them is Frank Sumption's box, which, by the way, he originally designed to talk to aliens. And it didn't work real well for talking to aliens either. But he designed it originally to talk to aliens, and then, of course, Mr. Moon got a hold of it and turned it into the telephone to the dead. And originally, you know, only 12 people would be able to operate it. And, of course, that quickly got thrown away because anytime you're randomly scanning the AM talk radio band and picking up phonetics, you're going to build words. My beef is this. We don't hear ghosts on our AM radio. Why are we hearing it on an AM radio that's in a box that's scanning?
Right.
The other thing is there's thousands of things on there that are normal coming through. Thousands.
Like blowjob?
Huh?
Blowjob?
I can get it to say, I can get one of them to say, suck your dick repeatedly.
Do it. I got to go hunting with you.
I will. The point of it is how it works. Is they're taking phonetics. They adjust the scan rate to be rapid enough to get phonetics. And then you start building words from phonetics. And in the English language, you're successful about 70% of the time doing that. What you have to look at is how many of the words coming out are pertinent to what you're asking and how many aren't.
Okay,
and
so when I'm at a location and I say, you want a blowjob? And 10 minutes go by and it says, the sports, the blowjob.
That's
sports, the blow job, okay?
But how many other words came through in the interim?
That
made no sense.
A lot.
Yeah. You're talking about random chance. You're talking about, okay, so maybe
job,
let's just
when
say...
I've never asked a ghost if it wanted a blow job. The first time I do within 10 minutes, I get the sports, the blow job. Okay.
Yeah, but what other words came through? I'm trying to teach you something here, okay?
Okay.
How many other words came through?
A gazillion. A lot
yeah,
of crazy
okay.
stuff. That night,
so
it was talking about people around me, yelling out people's
right.
names around me.
Right.
Tons of people. It always yells
right.
out my name. Jody! Jody! I always get it yelling my name.
Okay, but let's go back to what's in play here.
It has said names like that are not very common but are very close to me, and it has come through and told me, I was mad at a particular family member, okay, unusual name, and it said mad, and I said, who am I mad at? And it freaking said that person's name, and before I got to that ghost hunt, I was getting... My phone was blowing up from this person being an asshole to me. And I was pissed. I mean, I was like, motherfucker, you fucking call or text my phone one more time. Like, you're
pissed. So do you want to talk about all this bullshit or you want to talk about the science about it?
Yeah. You talk and explain it to me, goddammit, because... That shit freaks me the fuck out when it starts getting personal. I don't like it. And I do want an explanation. So give it to me. Go ahead.
Well, here's the problem with all of it. What's actually happening with these boxes and what happens with the Shack Hack, the same thing.
Okay.
They're scanning the AM band. So in order for you to be talking to a ghost, you're having to assume a couple of things that are kind of far-fetched for me to grab.
Okay.
The first thing you have to assume is that when we die, we somehow sprout an AM transmitter that automatically broadcasts only in the AM broadcast band, which is a very narrow bandwidth of frequencies that are in the AM band spectrum. So we have to assume that we suddenly develop the ability to transmit amplitude-modulated RF and then magically change the frequency we transmit at it at the exact same moment your box is scanning those random frequencies so that we can make our words make sense to you. The chances of that are about 10 trillion to 1 of happening, so pretty astronomical. The second thing is you have to look at everything that comes out of that box versus the couple of things that you get that make sense, or the 10 things or the 20 things that make sense. So you get 50 words that are pertinent and are applicable to your situation, but you may have 10,000 words that aren't.
Right.
So you're way well within the realm of random chance occurring to cause that. That's the first thing that happens. The second thing is because everything that's coming out of that box, 99% of it, let's assume that it does talk to the dead, 99% of what comes out of the box is normal. It's coming out of the AM broadcast band. And we've run these things with a spectrum analyzer next to it, and we didn't see where anything was coming from any ghost or any unknown source. It was coming from AM transmitting station sources. So we were watching words being built by phonetically scanning those, you know, those enunciated words that are coming through the AM radio band. But let's say that you are talking to the dead by some miracle of the feathery realms and everything. 99% of what you're getting is normal. There's no switch on that box that says normal, paranormal. So there's no way for you to prove that that's who you're talking to, and it's no way to prove you're talking to a ghost. You could be talking to some guy operating a friggin' walkie-talkie in the next room who's screwing with you. You could be talking to somebody that's a ham radio operator that's screwing with you.
I mean,
all somebody's got to be is within 100 feet of that box, and you can use any AM walkie-talkie, and you'll bleed over anything that's coming through there. We've done it. We've done demonstrations and freaked people out, and we were in the next room using a walkie-talkie to do it with. So, I mean, there's so many things it could be that aren't paranormal that evidence-wise it has no weight scientifically, and that's my beef with it. Even if we are talking to dead people, we really can't prove that's who we're talking to. All we have is subjective information that we're getting. In other words, the content of the information we're getting. And that content is all we have. It's subjective evidence. It's weak. It has no weight whatsoever without some type of objective evidence backing it up. And we can't back it up objectively. So while it's interesting and it's entertaining and it's compelling and you know, it's a great parlor game to play with people, I've talked to mediums who say, you know, the spirits hate those ghost boxes because it drives them crazy. And I go, well, I can understand that because when they were living, they were like me because they drive me crazy listening to them alive. So I'm sure it's driving them crazy to hear all the noise and crap those things generate. So, you know, it doesn't have any value for me as a researcher, and so I'm not interested in it. And that's my beef with it. I mean, if people want to do that, hey, that's great. And if you get, you know, if you get a hit and, you know, you feel like, oh, man, like I'm talking to dead people and I feel great and all that, that's good for you. I'm happy. But for my research purposes, it's meaningless. I can't use it because it's not quantifiable with anything. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I'm not saying you're not talking to the dead. Maybe you are. We just can't prove that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what? I've even thought about, like, maybe we're talking about this for a reason, but, you know, I was not a believer in the ghost box at all. Was not. I thought it was the stupidest thing until I got that Skin You Alive. And, like, after that came through, then it started getting really personal. Then it started calling my name out all the time. And it would almost, like, talk to me, I felt, directly in things that I was feeling inside. You know what I'm saying? And getting almost
alien?
A little too personal to me.
What if it's aliens, Jody? What if it's aliens and they're, like, stalking you?
Well, you know, I have my alien issues, so that is already hot.
You know, it makes more sense that it's aliens, like, stalking you than it does.
You know about my child? You know about my boy?
No.
Okay. So here's some weird shit, okay? Like, you know, after I had my son Nathan, I was told I would never have children again.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I went to doctors for about 6 years because I was trying to find out what was wrong with me because I was just having a lot of problems. And I found out I had endometriosis. So, you know, I had it really bad and, you know, I had to get, like, surgery done and, you know, I did, like, a treatment and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. So pretty much the doctors, like, just said you're never going to have children again. So when I had, you know, I just all of a sudden one day just pop up 10 years later after Nathan and I'm pregnant and I'm like, what the hell, you know? And then I find out, oh, my God, it's twins. And I'm like, what the double hell, you know? And, but, like, my one son, he came out, and everybody joked that he looked like an alien, okay? And so they called him the alien baby. And I'm going to send you a picture of him. He has no hair. He's 8 years old. No hair whatsoever. His head is in the shape of what looks like an alien. And, you know, I just never I never post pictures of him because, you know, he gets bullied all the time and, you know, people calling him a freak. And, you know, with the way that people are with me on Facebook, you know, the last thing I, you know, not to say that somebody would, but there are a lot of people that have just bullied me and, you know, I'm not going to put my son out there, you know what I mean,
right.
Like that, so somebody can say something like, because there's nothing wrong with him, you know, I've had every test done on him, and, you know, we don't, he has alopecia, so they say, but he literally, he looks like a little alien, and he jokes about it every once in a while, you know, like, around Halloween and stuff, they're like, well, I'll just go as the alien. You know what I mean? Like, and people, somebody bought me an alien freaking tire cover for my Jeep because of him. Like, that was one of my Christmas presents. It was like, are you serious? Like, a month after he was born. And they're like, well, your kid looks like an alien, Jody.
You know, maybe, you know.
Well, you know, here's another
stranger
thing.
Things have happened.
Well, there is, I have a missing period, a missing period of time. And
was
somebody
it good
was
for
looking,
you?
Well, I, the missing period of time? Or the sex with the alien?
just messing with you, girl. Just messing
okay,
with you.
Okay, but here's another thing. So I have this lump on the back of my head, and I went to a dermatologist, and I had it removed, and it came back bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have an, you know, chip in my head, and, yeah.
Well, maybe you're a breeder, you know.
Maybe that's why I couldn't get pregnant forever, because they were
I mean, maybe,
all
you know,
baby.
Hey. Hey, stranger
and then they were like,
happened.
Well, the bitch finally deserves one. We'll give her two. You
yeah,
know?
There you go. See? Yep. There you go. So.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? You know, I think there will be a discovery in aliens before there is a breakthrough with paranormal.
Well, it depends on what you consider a breakthrough. I've had like 6 breakthroughs in the last 8 years, so, you know, nobody pays attention to it, but, you know. I don't know. You know, it's like aliens have been here for 10,000, 20,000 years. You know, they created the modern human race. So, you know, we're all genetically engineered anyway. So, you know, the whole thing is kind of a moot point with me. I mean,
didn't
you
just get the picture?
You want to have Alien? Yeah, I did. He's cute. The whole thing with, are those like Nerf bullets?
Yes, he did that. He came to me like that.
That's an interesting picture there, Jody. Okie doke. I can understand why you think he might be an alien. I can see that.
Dude, everybody's okey-doke. Like, you're son's an alien. And
yeah.
Well, like, you know what? Even if he is, he's my goddamn alien, okay? And I love him. He's my peanut. He's my
there you
peanut
go.
Parks. Yeah.
There you go. That's interesting, but don't get me off on alien tangents right now, because I'm dealing with my own
alien stuff.
I'm dealing with my own, you know, like
alien demons.
Well, no, and I, you know what? I don't want to go there because it's probably going to be in book two from Demon Street, because you know a lot of things got revealed in the last year and a half, 2 years or so, maybe 3 years, that we were working on writing it. And there's already the second book that's like the sequel ended in October of last year, and like we're well into the third book now. So Demon Street
wow.
USA is not the only book. There's going to be at least two more sequels
that's
to
awesome.
It because things are going on. And it, again, it goes back to, you know, this race of people called the Anunnaki who basically populated ancient Sumeria and started the ancient Sumerian civilization, which was the first major civilization on the face of the planet. And, you know, there's indications and even genetic evidence that supports the fact that modern humans were engineered. They didn't evolve. They were genetically engineered. For example, blue-eyed people have been traced back during the mapping of the human genome back to about 20,000 years ago to a single ancestor in Mesopotamia. The Egyptian kings and queens were blue-eyed. There's this whole, you know, I won't even go into it because there's this whole trail of things that point to that being so. And the Anunnaki were not the only race of aliens that came to this planet by any means. There were the Coneheads that, you know, went to Central America. And the Coneheads, I think, started the whole Toltec race, which ended up, you know, being the Incas and the Aztecs and all that. But, I mean, several
so
different races.
So what breed would my son be?
Oh, God, don't ask me questions like that. What,
well,
what color,
I don't know.
What color is his eyes?
Brown.
He's
yeah.
probably, well, he's probably not Anunnaki, but he's probably one of the other races. I mean, it depends on, you know, who you've been shacking around with, Jody.
Well, I don't know. I had a few period of time, like
yeah.
years
But, I mean, there
before.
Were different races.
Years before.
You know, there were different races that came here, and I suspect that, you know, they're saying now that there are different species of modern human beings based on genetics, meaning we're different species, you know. It doesn't mean that we're not so different that we can't interbreed, because obviously we can.
Right.
But the species were designed to breed with their hosts who created them. And certainly that was the case with the Anunnaki. They designed their version of the modern human being in order to be able to breed with them because they needed, you know, essentially a workforce to mine, you know, technology metals like, you know, titanium, gold, silver, all the
mm-hmm.
stuff that's used in high technology. And they were too lazy to do it, so they said, oh, hey, let's create, you know, a human being to do it. And they took basically a species that was already here, an ancient humanoid creature, and they genetically engineered it so that they could breed with it and create a civilization. And if you look at the Sumerian legends, that's exactly what the Sumerian legends say. So, you know, cool stuff, but you know, that's for another day. No, but what comes out in the book is we ended up, what we were dealing with was a Sumerian entity. It wasn't a good entity. It was a bad entity. And in dealing with it, we had to call upon Sumerian entities to assist us with it. And, of course, that created a lot of other connections. It created a connection that eventually Tracy was a part of the connection. And a whole lot of the second book is going to be about her involvement in it and something that happened in 1985. Because in 1985, when this happened, something happened to her that relates to it.
Interesting.
And that'll get tied in into the second book when we started writing the book. And she was reading it as we were writing it. When we were writing about the ancient Sumerian gods and goddesses, we named some names, and she flipped out because she didn't know anything about the Sumerians. She knew the names. So there's a whole story behind that. And again, I'm not going to give too much of that away.
And when does the second book come out? The first book, it's out, right?
No, it's not coming out until August. It's in pre-sales right now.
Okay, that's right.
And it's in Amazon in pre-sales right now, and it's selling. It's selling in pre-sales.
Great.
Awesome. Everybody that's read it, all the test readers that have read it, have said, oh, my God, this book is going to sell a million copies. And, of course, that's what we're hoping. We will start working on book two this year. We've started kind of outlining it. The problem
is
we're trying to figure out.
Is helping with that?
Tracy and what I went through with Tracy is going to be a big part of that story, yeah. Because
nice.
it fills in a lot of explanation for what happened in 1985. So it's like once you read the first book, there's things that we didn't know when that was going on, but later we found out that there was way more that took place that night in 1985 than we imagined. And it was much later, 27 years later, that we righted some wrongs that occurred during the first book. And, of course, that started a whole new series of things occurring. And, you know, it's going to be fun. You know, it's a rocket ride. So, and then there will be a third book that we're currently living right now. And, you know, I highly suspect that Wednesday is going to be a big part of that book. So there's just a lot of continuing things that are keep coming up, and it's like the book that never ends, you know. It's like just when you think, okay, you know, we'll write this book and we've told the story, then something ties into it and you're like, holy shit, you know, how did that happen? And then all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, you know, the book is continuing. You know, and it's just kept on doing that. So I mean, the good thing about it is we kept good notes, you know, over the past year, 2 years. So we know we've got a wealth of information to pull from to write the second book. And then right now, you know, I'm taking notes and stuff on the third book. So, I mean, it's just an incredible experience. And, you know, like, when will it end? You know, don't know.
Wow.
It's like my life is a book. It's like my life is a book. Yeah. Surprise, it's a book.
And it's not going to be one book. It's going to be several books, which I think is great. I mean, that's great for movies. Somebody is going to come along and want to probably do movies on it, and we'll turn into a couple, several movies.
I'm pretty sure that it'll probably turn into a series of movies. The thing is there's so many metaphysical lessons in it as well. I mean, there are lessons about living. There are lessons about, you know, approaching life. I mean, in the first book, there's a great deal of references to what I went through to become a shaman. In the book, I'm teaching Robbie how to be a shaman. So there's a lot of metaphysical lessons in the book. And the book, the first book, has all kinds of layers of plots and subplots, and it's just an interesting story. And it's the kind of book you're going to read it the first time and you're going to go, whoa. And then you're going to go back and read it again. And when you read it the second time, you're going to go, whoa. You know, because every time you read it, you're going to pick up something else that you kind of missed, you know, the first time through. Because you're kind of concentrating the first time you read it on the main plot line.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read it the second time, you realize, oh, wow, you know, there's like this subplot and that subplot and this subplot that you don't kind of pay attention to in the story. and it just turns out that, you know, you've got a story of a person's personal development spiritually. You've got a story of a demon that's, you know, basically ruining somebody's life and what it goes through to defeat evil and the price that good has to pay for it. And, you know, there's just all kinds of things going on in it. There's even two sex scenes in it. So, you know, pretty
nice.
It's pretty incredible.
Juicy, or are you going to, like, are you the guy that's having the
sex? I'm in one of them.
Okay, are you slamming the chick up against the wall? Is it, like, you know, just real heated? Or is it real romantic by a fire or something?
No. It's not. My sex scene is not romantic. However, it is tastefully done. How's that? And then the other sex scene that's in it is just, you will just cringe because it's like, and this stuff had to be toned down because nobody would believe it. I mean, if we wrote everything that happened in our personal experience, no one would believe it. They would think it was total work of fiction. And we toned everything down a great deal. I mean, we had to cut 10,000 words out of the original manuscript because they only wanted us to have a 68,000 word book. We had 78,000 words. We had to cut a lot out, 10,000 words. And, you know, a lot of stuff had to go into the waste bin that was good stuff. But it was just too intense. I mean, the whole thing was very intense. It affected people's lives, and it still affected people's lives, you know, almost 30 years later. So, you know, it is what it is. The sex scene that is the other sex scene is like horrific. It's like appalling. It's like you feel really sorry for the guy, you know, because. Let's just put it this way. He's not having sex with a human being. Yeah.
I got you. Yeah.
So it's not pretty. My sex scene was more of a, I was kind of hypnotized almost into doing what I was doing. I was being used to access something, and I wasn't aware of how I was being seduced until it was almost too late. And then I was able to, you know, recover and pull out, so to speak. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was cool.
Nice.
But, yeah, they were tastefully done. And there's going to be sex scenes, of course, in the second book. And
can I star in this movie?
And you know, I'll be the subject of some of that. So, but anyway, you know, that shit sells books, though. You know, it's
yeah,
books.
Yeah, it does. Sometimes you got to get steamy with it. You know what I mean? Shit.
Yeah, and you know,
needs
we
a little love and a little, you know.
Well, Robbie and I realized that when we were writing it, because we struggled to put them in the first place. When we were putting them in, we were like, God, should we really put them in? And then Robbie's like, well, you know, they're really key to the story. And I'm like, yeah. And the funny thing about it was, is in my sex scene, I actually I had sex with the woman who called us in to deal with the demon. And I had forgotten I had done that. It wasn't until we were writing the book that it came back to me. And Robbie had no idea that I did it because I didn't say anything to anybody back then. And it hit me that, oh, my God, I had sex with her, you know. And then I had to write it out and then show it to him. And he was like, oh, wow, yeah, we got to use this, you know. And I'm like, I don't know, you know. And, of course, we had to change names because we couldn't get a hold of everybody. We couldn't find people that were in the book. So most of the names in the book have been changed. And we're hoping when the book comes out that those people will read it and realize that it was them and contact us, you know, so that, you know, if they want us to use their real names or associate their real names with it, we can do that on a website or something and say, yeah, these are the real people that were involved. or whatever. Of course, some of them probably won't want to be, you know, associated with it. But we had to change names, you know, to kind of protect the guilty.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. But even if people don't believe it, it's a really damn good story. And that's kind of the important thing about it is even though it's real, and I'll guarantee you if you go to any of the people that are in the story and you question them, they will tell you the same thing we wrote in the story. Whatever they witnessed that we wrote in the book, they will confirm it because everyone experienced the same thing. So you can say it's not real, but for us it was very real. And the thing that was so cool about it was is that, you know, when we got done with it, it affected our lives for years afterwards. Years afterwards. It affected people that were a part of it besides us for years afterwards.
Wow.
And I look at these people out there that are, like, playing around with being demonologists and shit, and I see the shit that they do, and I go, you know, you have no qualifications to be doing what you're doing. And you're out there, like, basically, you know, yelling wolf at everything you see. Well, you know, one day you're going to find a real wolf out there.
Right.
You're going to shit your pants.
Yeah.
And you're going to put your client in jeopardy, and you're going to put yourself in jeopardy. Because when you find the when you find the real deal, you're not going to spit gasoline on it and set it on fire to drive it off.
I'm going to grab it by the balls.
You know? Well, that doesn't necessarily work either.
No.
There's stuff out there that there's no known... There are things out there that there are no known banishments for.
I understand. And you are absolutely right. And, you know, in some ways this does... You know, I was thinking about that recently, and, you know, I really think that this is something that should be turned into almost like a license. You have to get a license. You know, and you have
certainly
to...
Certainly people need to be qualified to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge liability involved here. Huge liability involved here. And these people that are prancing around with their $35 certificate from the Universal Life Church and claiming to be what they are because they read a book or whatever, they have a tremendous liability on their shoulders. And if something goes wrong, they're going to be liable for it. They could go to jail. They could be sued. And it's just a matter of time before something, you know, weird happens and somebody's going to get hurt. And whoever's masquerading at doing all this stuff is going to end up, you know, it's going to be bad for the paranormal field. Let's just put it that way. I mean, there are people out there who are qualified to do exorcisms. They're associated with a church.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I think it's okay if people come out and say, like, I'm a student of demonology.
Sure.
You know, I would consider myself a student of demonology. I've read
books.
Because
you study demons. Yes,
study
but demons.
I would not
That's
come
what
out
it means.
And say, I am a demonologist, and I know I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. No, I am not qualified. But you know what? One of my dreams as an investigator is to actually witness and film. I would like to film and document an exorcism, a real one, and not to be the person doing it, but for observation. And, you know.
It'd be hard to do it with the Catholic Church because they don't allow that to happen.
Of course not, no. I mean, it would obviously have to be done with people who are otherwise qualified.
Well, how are they otherwise qualified, see? That's
exactly
what you have to ask yourself. What program did they go through? Because in the Catholic Church, when you learn to be an exorcist, you go to the Vatican College, and you go to college to be an exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
They take a priest who is selected by the Pope to go through additional college education and then practical. They do a practical, like, apprenticeship with a practicing exorcist before they're allowed to even go out and do an exorcism.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people think that there's, you know, all these exorcists out there. You know, there's maybe 8 or 9 in the United States in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Maybe. And, you know, anytime that there's an exorcism that has to be done in the U.S., one of those 9 has to go to wherever it is. That's why you have to request it through your bishop. You have to go to the bishop in order to request it. And then the bishop has to get approval from Rome before he can do it.
Right.
Everything has to be reviewed.
Kind of, that's why it goes on to people in our field, you know, because, you know, like with the movie The Conjuring, you know, those people kind of didn't have time to really get wait for all of that process to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And he had to take care of it himself. But we are not qualified to be doing that, in my opinion, you know?
No.
It's one thing to go into a location that, you know, there might be a ghost there and it's just kind of messing with the animals or something like that, you know, and you go in and you try and help a family and you investigate. But if it's, like, over your head and you can't help, you got to go higher up. You have to. You have to reach out and find help, the right help for those people.
And mm-hmm. so many things are getting tagged as being a demon that aren't. You know, there's a lot of other things besides human spirits out there. A lot of things besides human spirits out there. There are elementals. There's, you know, there's all sorts of stuff. There are inorganic beings in the world. And these inorganic beings are capable of doing, you know, whatever their personal agenda is. And if their personal agenda is something that may be harmful to you, well, you may perceive them to be a demon, but they're not.
Exactly.
And
yes.
When you come across something that's demonic, the pure evilness of it, your body feels it. Your body's revolted.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be sick from it. The effect of it is just, it's incredible. And people talk about, oh, well, they can seduce you. They can do this. Yeah, they can. But if you're trained for it, you see through that. You feel it. Your body feels the difference. I mean, you know, was I seduced by it in the book? Yeah, I was seduced by it, but I recovered before it totally got me because it dawned on me what was happening. You know, I broke through it. The little voices in my head said, I have to kill you. No, the little voices in my head said, oh, yeah, you know, something's going wrong. Run, run, dude, run, you know? And sometimes you have to listen to those voices. But, anyway, it's a good book. I'm anxious for it to come out because
I
think it's going to turn a lot of heads about people who know me because nobody really knows about my spirituality. They just know about my science, you know, background and my whole scientific approach to the paranormal and everything. But I have a whole history of a metaphysical approach in the paranormal as well, and that's something that has not been, you know, common knowledge to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
So. And
I've always
alluded. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say with metaphysical, I've always been interested since I've been in the paranormal. My thought process now has shifted towards, you know, the elements of the earth that, you know, even the Native Americans used, you know, and they were very spiritual people. Of how the elementals, you know, fire and water and those type of elements, how those can tie into the paranormal, you know, how can spirits use use those elements of the earth, which they did, you know, way back before any technology. And I just, you know, trying to figure out ways to kind of test those ideas I have in my head of how the paranormal can use water, how is it a conductor of energy, and that those kind of ideas, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, we even talk about, you know, crossing over to this property where this thing is at. There was a ditch full of water around it, and when we crossed that water onto the property, it was like somebody hit us with a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a difference in day and night. It's like whatever was there wouldn't cross that water.
Huh.
And, it was just kind of amazing. I mean, we experienced a lot of things that have been folklorically demonstrated over and over again. But when you actually experience something like that, it is a totally different thing because you're not expecting it. You're thinking, oh, this is bullshit. It's folklore, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, you step across the ditch and you realize you're just like hopelessly fucked. and there you are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, it's just like when I had my teammate get possessed, and at the time I didn't know what the hell was going on. I had no really much experience in all that, and in my spirituality, I was like, you know, kind of teetering on what was really going on in the afterlife. And when I put that Bible up against her forehead, you know, because that's the only thing in my thought, oh, this is what I got to do, and it actually burned her skin, you know, and left a burn mark all the way across her forehead where I had that Bible. I was just like, holy shit, what is this? You know?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I mean, the things that you experience and you're not prepared to experience them, and then when you do experience them, you know, they make a mark on your life for the rest of your life, you know. You know,
yeah.
You got them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, someday somebody's going to be out there and they're going to be doing some kind of half-ass exorcism on somebody and they're going to find the real deal. And whatever's there is going to chew them up and spit them out and turn them into used bubble gum. And, you know, that'll be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will be. And, you know, it pisses me off about the TV shows. And I'll admit it, in one of my documentaries, I kind of made fun of some shit. You know, somebody on TV said that there was a demon at one of the locations that I went to. I called them up and I said, so, is a demon there? And they go, no. And I go, well, he said there was. And they said, well, Jody. And I said, so, is it okay if I dress up like a demon and come there and make fun of it? And he said, absolutely. So, you know, I will say, though, I went there and I joked about it, you know, that there was a demon there. And it is the only place I can honestly God, like, honest to God, can say that while I was there, I actually felt like something, like I got up and started walking and I felt like I walked into a very, very dark area. And I backed up and I got somebody to come with me. And that person ended up getting hurt. And, you know, I look at it like this. I don't think it's a demon. I think that whatever is there was a very, very, very bad person in life. And that, when they cross over, if that person is still there, he would have that dark energy because he was not a good person.
Right.
You know,
and it could even be something even that isn't human, as far as that goes. I mean,
yeah.
there could be something that just isn't human and is just, you know, chaotic, neutral in alignment, but because its agenda just happens to be, you know, doing something harmful to you because you're in the way, you're going to perceive that to be demonic, and it isn't
right.
necessarily so.
Yeah. Like I'm not going to go and say that was demonic because I did feel something bad, but that doesn't
right.
mean it's demonic. That doesn't mean it's demonic.
No, it doesn't.
No. It could be that, you know, I just felt something that wasn't normal to anything that I felt before. You know what I mean? And so, therefore, it was like, God. It was very different. It was very, I've never had that feeling of getting up and walking in, like I walked in something that I didn't like that actually backed me up. And
yep. There was an interview that was done by me by MonsterCon TV when I was in San Antonio for the Day of the Dead. And we had gone into the milking barn behind Victoria's Black Swan Inn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was giving an interview to them. It was just a candid interview. We were sitting in the dark inside this place, and I mean, there's just stuff going on all around us, and the film crew were kind of freaking out a little bit, and the girl that was interviewing me, she was getting kind of a crackly voice and stuff, you know, because the energy in this place was pretty powerful. And I'm sitting there, and while they're interviewing me, you can see movement over my left shoulder in the dark, And I had people say, God, did you see that behind you? And I'm like, yeah, there was a demon in the room, you know. There was a demon in the barn there. And they're like, there was? And I'm like, yeah. I said he was pissed off because he couldn't do anything to me. And he wanted to really bad, but he couldn't touch me. And they were like, how come? And it's because I had this necklace on that had all of the seals of Solomon on it. And when I do this kind of work, I made this necklace specifically to do what it does. And I was wearing that necklace, and I was just as calm, cool, and collected as could be because this thing couldn't touch me, and it was going crazy because it couldn't. And it just wanted to, like, choke the crap out of me, and it couldn't touch me. And I just gave a nice, calm, collected interview while there's demons behind me going crazy. And it was like, it was like I had come full circle, you know. It's like this thing was just like going nuts behind me, you know, and I was just like, yeah, that's cool, you know. Think I'll have a cigar or whatever, you know. It was like
so
at that point.
Did you like that place? Did you like that place?
I love Victoria's Black Swan Inn. I love
it. You know, they're having a Valentine's Day brunch. And I saw them advertising for it. And I had to repost it because, you know, it just looks like it would be fun. It looks like it would be a fun brunch to go to on Valentine's Day.
Well, Joe had done the Day of the Dead thing she did to honor her dead mother. Her mother originally owned the Black Swan Inn, and it was a bed and breakfast. And she passed away last year. And so Joe had decided to do the Day of the Dead celebration and have a Halloween thing there. And, of course, you know, we were there to speak and everything else. So,
That's wonderful. They
had a masquerade ball to celebrate the Day of the Dead on the front yard of the place, and it was just absolutely great. I mean, I spent 4 days there, and I was a new person when I left there. I was a completely new person when I left there. So the Black Swan Inn is always going to have fond memories for me. I'm always going to associate positiveness and good and everything else with it. So it didn't matter what was there crawling around or lurking in the shadows. It wasn't going to bother me, and it didn't. And it bothered a lot of other people. You know, but it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
But it is a place that I would highly recommend. At least the milking barn is very, if you're a woman, going into the milking barn can be a very unusual experience because there is a male spirit in the milking barn that is very abusive to women sexually.
Nice.
And a lot of women were getting, like, felt up.
Nice.
Butt pinched. Yeah, they're
Why
butts
have I not investigated there?
Yeah, you'd love it.
Oh.
I mean, I could just...
this could get real naughty.
Yeah.
I'm liking
that.
Oh,
man.
Good. But, yeah, I mean, I highly recommend it. And anybody that goes there, I'll guarantee you go to the milking barn, you're going to have an experience. And like I said, I mean, everybody that went over there, we got great EVPs. We even got information. I think we got information from Joe's mother when we were in her bedroom where she had died. And I just think that the place is very, very active. And it's right next to the Alameda Battlefield, which was like the last battle of the war for Texas independence. I literally walked out there to do my rebirthing ceremony to reconnect with my shamanism out on the battlefield in the ruins of a sweat lodge that women had used years and years ago as a sweat lodge. I used that for my place of rebirth. I mean, it was almost like a womb, you know, and the place is just very cool.
That's awesome. Oh, David. We've got to talk about this. You've got to go to Farrar. You have to go to Farrar.
I what?
You have to go to Farrar. I keep telling you about that school.
Oh, Farrar?
In Iowa, yeah. I really think you'll like it a lot.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
Yeah, I want you to go there. I really think you'll like it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of places I want to go. And, you know, I just, it all has to do with people getting me to where I need to go, you know, because I'm not independently wealthy. I can't fly all over the country because I want to go to these places. I have
Come
to have a real job.
Have billionaire friends?
Huh?
Don't you have a couple billionaire friends?
Shit. No, Jody. I don't have what it takes to have millionaire friends like someone I know. I can't shake my booty at anybody and pick up any dough, so you know. But no, there's a lot of places that I want to go. You know, like looks like I may have an opportunity to go to Mackey's, you know, Bobby Mackey's.
Yeah, I saw that on actually.
Yeah, and I'm like hoping that happens and pans out because I've always wanted to go there and run some equipment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I want to go, you know, try to find out what the deal is there.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never investigated there either, and yeah, I would love to. I want to get up on his stage, and I want to get a cowgirl outfit on, and I want to dance up on stage. Okay, can I just say, with nobody there? Dance like nobody's watching. Okay, in my cowgirl suit.
Yeah, you'll have to remind me ahead of time so I can kind of, like, do a few things there, you know, like to get one of those little Go cameras set up, you know, that sort of thing. I'm thinking of making, like, a little side money on this trip.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, it's there's a lot of places I want to go, you know. I want to go to Waverly Hills. I've never been there, you know, so... I'm hoping the things that I'm involved with right now will open some doors for me to be able to do a whole lot more with that.
Oh, yeah.
If everything comes through with what I'm working on now, and one of these things has to hit. I mean, I'm involved. I got my fingers in so much crap right now. You know, I look like a fudge maker, but one of them has got to hit at some point. And when it does, you know, it's going to change everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely.
You know,
some people are just ahead of their time. You are definitely ahead of
your time.
Well,
I didn't go after it. You know, I never went after it. That wasn't a primary motivating factor for me. Like, my primary motivating factor was the research and doing the research. Well, you know, I'm getting older. You know, I'm not going to be doing the research forever. And there's, you know, some things I want to do.
Yeah.
And in order to do that.
Life, man.
Yeah. And in order to do those things, I need a vehicle for doing that. And so, you know, then I started putting something together. Oh, by the way, Wednesday said to tell you hi.
Hello.
And she hopes that she will be able to meet you soon.
I hope to meet her, too.
So I just wanted to pass that on. She just texted me in Facebook to say, hey, because she's listening to the show.
Nice.
She said, hey, tell Jody I said hi, by the way. Please, if you can squeeze it in.
Yeah, we'll have fun. We'll have fun.
Yeah, she's great.
We'll have fun, you know?
Yeah, she's really great. You know what's so exciting? You know what's so exciting for me about it is she's into what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah.
And she's telling me, she goes, you know, I could explain this to people a lot better than you can. And you know what? She can.
Yeah.
You know, she can explain it a whole lot simpler than I can explain it. And, I mean, that's the beauty of her. She looks at what I'm doing and she goes, you know, you still are kind of complicated on how you explain this, but I could explain this a whole lot better. And I'm like, God, I wish you would, you know. Oh, she's good.
Yeah. Well, cool. I can't wait to meet her. So you're going to go and you're going to hang out with her soon.
Yep, I'm going. I'm flying Saturday on the 8th, and I'll come back on Sunday the 16th.
Wonderful.
And we're going to explore. We're going to go. She wants to take me to Painted Rock, which is a really sacred site where the Native Americans used to put on their war paint before they went to war.
Right on.
There's some abandoned mines we're going to check out. She's got a lot of things that she wants to show me. And then there's some people that are like members of Spirit Lab Facebook group that live in Colorado Springs, and we're going to meet up with them and hook up and talk about research and stuff. So, you know, it's kind of like a working vacation kind of thing, you know.
It's not really work when you're doing what you love, you know.
That's
you're
exactly
doing
right.
Love. And you love
That's
to talk
exact.
About it. You love to share your stories with people and your knowledge. And, you know, you've always been, you know, a pretty wonderful person when it comes to that, in my opinion. A lot of people in our field are not, they don't understand being, you know, a team and not that we're not at competition, you know. And
if
you played nice, you would get rewarded. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, hello, do people
Absolutely.
Just not get it? You know what I mean? But if you're going to cause a problem, you know. But I don't know. I don't think there's enough good leaders, and you're definitely a good leader, in my opinion, as somebody that deserves a lot more recognition than you get.
Well, thank you, Jody. I mean, I've tried to treat people like I would have them treat me.
Yeah.
And you know, the point is, you know, the point is that I'm out there, you know, I've got connections, I've got abilities. Someone comes to me with something, I'm going to help them. I mean, if it's something just like, oh, you know, I want to get into a group. Do you know a good group to get in? Or if, you know, I want to start this business and I want to do this or I want to do that. And people ask me questions all the time. I answer them. I take the time to talk with them. If I can help them get started, if I know someone that can help them, I connect the people together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about networking.
It's so important.
Yeah.
It's so important. I had so many people call me up today and said, hey, do you think you could help out with that? And it's like, no problem, done. And they're like, just that easy. And I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. I got it. I'll take care of it tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's like, I know that, you know, I could help them out in that situation, and God damn it, I'm going to, you know? It's going to be taken care of.
That's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. And you know what? It's like I learned a long time ago that what people think of me is none of my fucking business.
Yeah.
And I don't give a shit what people think of me. I'm going to do what I want to do for the hell of it. That's it. For the hell of it. You know? I'm going to like who I want, and I don't give a shit who cares. I do it because I want to do it, and I do it for the hell of it. I don't have any reason or motivation for doing it. I mean, I tend to be friends with a lot of underdogs. I tend to be friends with a lot of downtrodden people along the way. But my friendships are true friendships. And I wouldn't trade the people that I'm friends with for nothing in the world. Nothing. And nobody better fuck with them. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Because I will do a rain dance upon their head.
You know, I love that about you. I want to get painted up with you. I want to go out warrior style, okay? Like when I see you, I want to start pulling out the paint and like
yep.
warrior
we'll be
mode.
We'll be scalping all them bitches out there, Jody.
Motherfucker, I know how to scalp, David. I do. I was taught, not on an actual human, but I was shown and demonstrated how to do it properly by another
yep.
Indian twin. He thought it was important. I knew how to do it.
Yep.
I was like.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll go out there. We'll be scalping them bitches. That's what we'll be doing. Yeah, if you didn't watch that video interview with me, I was all painted up in war paint. I was all in my shaman mode.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty interesting interview because it was like the first interview I did after I reconnected with my shamanic ability. So it was like I was a completely different person when you look at me in that interview.
Yeah.
But I had the red stripe across my eyes, you know, and
yeah.
It was just I was in another
fur vest. That's my favorite when you have your fur vest on and you're by the water. I mean, that is just the fact that you're like, fuck it, I'm doing this.
Yeah, I was by.
He did. That is awesome. That was awesome.
That was the pictures by the river, and it was cold as shit that day. It was cold as shit that day. It was like 35 degrees, and I'm sitting out there. I'm sitting out there with that fur vest on, no shirt, freezing my ass off. And we had to have taken probably 60 pictures while I was standing by the river out there because we took pictures from all kinds of different angles and stuff. But that was, I mean, I loved the place where I was at. That place is like a mile from my house. It's a wild river. It's one of the few wild rivers still in New Jersey.
Beautiful.
We're only about 10 miles from the headwaters where it comes out of the ground. And it's just a beautiful wild river. And it's not a deep river. Very shallow. It's only a few feet deep, but it's very beautiful and it's very peaceful, and it's a lot of rapids in it because it's so shallow, so it's always making these rushing noises and everything. But that's a great place, you know. I love that place.
I love to swim on the water and anything to do with water. Oh my god, like I could probably spend a whole day in water and just be happy.
Oh yeah. But you know what's good about it? You know what's good about those pictures, Jody, is all the women like them pictures.
It's fucking awesome, dude. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, most men would be like, yeah, no. You know what I mean? And the fact that we were like, screw it, I'm doing this, man. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. I like
that. Oh, yeah. Pictures. And all
but
the women love them. Everyone's...
To be in fur next to you with painted, you know, warrior nose. Like...
Absolutely.
I'm
absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Now, every once in a while, I'll throw one of those pictures up, and man, all them damn women go crazy, man.
I know, they do. They do, and that's why I had to bring it up, because you'll get like a gazillion likes.
Oh, yeah. Good comments galore on it. But, you know, it's all part of, you know, it's all part of what you do. You know, it's all part of, you know, I hate to say it, but we sell ourselves to a certain degree. I mean, we have to. In order to get our message out, you know, we have to kind of sell ourselves. You know, we're like para-whores, you know. We go out, we sell ourselves, but we do it because it's a vehicle in order for us to get our message out.
Yeah.
And to get our message to as many people as possible, you have to play the game, you know. It's a publicity game, and you have to play it. The difference is
a photo shoot in a while, so maybe I need to, like...
Yeah, you need to put one of those TNA shots of yours up again. I mean, that gets everybody all, their glands all uprooted and stuff, so...
When I change my profile picture to one of my modeling pictures, people go nuts. They go...
Oh, I know it.
My inbox will start blowing up with people telling me, Jody, do you really think that people will take you serious? I mean, come on. You know, and you expect people not to treat you like this and da-da-da-da-da, and it's like, are you shitting me over a freaking picture? You know what I mean?
If you're that fucking shallow that a picture is going to form your opinion of somebody, then, you know, you've got your head up your ass to start with.
See,
you know?
I mean, it hits me on so bad because, okay, I'm going to say it, and fuck it. Zach Bagan, okay, he does a charity event. He's at an event. And he auctions off his shirt. He takes his shirt off. He is there bare and breast and everything. And, you know, these bitches are licking his nutsacks from, you know, across the room. And, you know, he got $7,000 for it. Okay, say we have a charity event to sell off my shirt and I have no bra under it. Okay. Could you imagine what would be said about me, how I would be hated. I would be called a whore. Every, you know, then I'd be fucking the guys at the event. You know, I mean, it would be brutal.
Oh,
and
I know.
There'd be any kind of crazy person that would do it just to piss people off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I just want you to let me know what that charity event is and when it's going to happen. But,
if you put your if you put your bra up or your pony, let me know. I'll go get a loan from the bank.
Well,
yeah,
if
I
knew I
mean,
was doing an event, trust me, I would pull in outside sources to come and pay big
bucks
money.
Alone. I'll be in the audience driving the friggin' bid up.
$7,000. I have to get at least a fucking $100. Come on.
Well, you'll get more than that because see, I'll be out in the audience driving the bid up. I'll just keep driving
and
it up.
Like, I'm taking 20%.
Get it up to about 3,000 or 4,000, and then I'll just quit. But yeah, when you put that picture up when you were in that costume that you had on.
Which costume?
Remember? The one where you've got your arms raised up or whatever,
yeah,
and it's like the...
I ain't got no costume.
Like the,
I was just fishing that baby all the way down
like,
to the ground.
Yeah, it was like see-through everything you got there for sale, but whatever.
I didn't have anything.
Everybody went apeshit.
Oh,
everybody went apeshit.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... I'm an embarrassment because of that kind of stuff. Look at the way I dress. But then when I go to a event, I have tennis shoes on, T-shirts, jeans, a backpack. I have all my equipment in my backpack. My hair is up in a pigtail. And I got barely any makeup on because I don't give a shit. I'm a ghost hunt, you know?
That's like when we were at Mid-South, you know? You know, I catch hell for that picture all the time.
I love it. I love that you repost it every once in a while.
I do. I do just to stir the shit up because it's great.
I love that about you. I know what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, and how that picture happened, it was kind of funny. I was walking by, and you were sitting there going, God damn it, I got to get a picture of you. I got to get a picture of you. And I said, all right, I'll give you a fucking picture. And I leaned forward and did that. You took the fucking picture, and then it was all over Facebook, man. It was funny as shit. And everyone's like looking at me going, Dave, what are you doing? It's like, what do you mean what I'm doing? I said, it was Jody Parks. She was taking a picture.
Yeah, you got a rock star around me, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Not that or don't come
at all. It's all shock factor, man. It's all shock factor. That's
I know.
Right.
Ian's flying. People don't understand that, okay? Okay, David, I'm going to tell you something like, about implying. You know, when I had that girlfriend a while back?
Your lesbian relationship?
Yes. Okay. So nobody knows the real story behind that because I just don't talk about that. And, so that girl, she wanted to become part of the Paranormal Hot Squad. And, you know, I told her, I said, you're not going to be able to last you. You're not going to be able to handle these people. Listen, I know you, and, you know, these people will tear you apart. And she was like, no. And so I said, you know what, how about this? Come with me to this event, and you can meet people, and we can see how they treat you, and then you can decide if you would like to be a part of this or not.
Stay there.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, really.
So I was like, and, you know, so then, like, in the, you know, we're just hanging out, and she was, like, talking about how she was really sad that she hasn't been in a relationship on Facebook in, like, 2 years. And I said, well, you want to be my girlfriend? And I'll be your girlfriend if you want to look like you're in a relationship. And she's like, you would do that? And I go, yeah, you can come with me. You'll be my lesbian lover. And, you know, we'll just find out how people treat you and treat me, too. And she was like, okay, cool. So, you know, we became, you know, in our relationship on Facebook, and people were like, oh, my God, you know. And,
I remember when all that happened.
She went with me to this event, and people were so mean to us. David, I ended up leaving crying one night because of how freaking mean somebody was to me about the situation. And the fact that, you know what if I really were a lesbian, You know what I mean? I just found out what it's like to be gay, okay?
Right.
And how people will, you know, you find out who people really are. And some people showed me who they really were. And it was really, really disappointing. And the way, like, people were so mean to her about the way that she was dressed. Yeah, we kind of did provoke the situation. She wore a pair of horse shirt, and I wore a pair of virgin shirt. Because I'm such a whore, I've never been with anybody. But, you know, that's a whole other ball game. But,
After that, personally, she decided,
I want nothing to do with these paranormal people.
Yeah,
they're the most disgusting people I've ever met in my life, Jody. And
absolutely.
I knew she was able to handle it, and she came in and tried one thing without anybody knowing what she really wanted from the situation.
Yeah. Well, I understand. Yeah. See, I have no trouble. I have no trouble with lesbians. Being a lesbian myself, I don't have any issue with it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I like seeing that sort of thing, you know, two good-looking women together. I mean, you know, I'm a lesbian. I can't help it. But
I've been a lesbian, you know, at times, you know what I mean? But I'm not. I prefer the sausage.
Okay. Well, moving right along. like I say, you know. I don't have any issue with it. The only issue that I've ever had with it is like when gay men have to tell you about every graphic detail of their sex life the night before. You know, I get a little sketchy when that starts going on. You know, it's like, you know, dude, what you do in your bedroom's your business. You know, it'd be like me going out and saying, hey, you know what I did last night? You know, nobody wants to hear that. You know, it's like, no. But that's always been, you know. But there are so many people that are so
closed-minded.
It's not even just closed-minded. They're people that are just, I mean, to me, they're bigots. There's so many bigots, you know, out there. And judgmental people, they judge you, you know, at the drop of a hat. And they really have no business judging anybody because their own closet's full of skeletons.
Right.
You know, and I don't care. You know, I don't give a shit what people think about me.
I do what I do.
And some people come to me and they go, you know, I'm really disappointed in you for posting that. And I'm like, well, fucking get over it. You know,
right?
It's like
my page.
Fuck
off.
It's my page. You don't like what I put on it. Fucking don't look at it. You know, don't go there. I mean,
no big deal.
I had someone actually tell me to stop posting music on my page because it was flooding their page. And I said, remove me from your fucking newsfeed. You know, if you don't like seeing what I'm fucking posting, take me off your newsfeed because I'm posting whatever the fuck I want. You know, if I want to post a picture of two dogs fucking, there's going to be two dogs fucking on my page. I mean,
make
I don't give
sure
a shit. You know? Yeah, I mean, you know, I post what I want, you know, and usually it's for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, usually I post something for a reason. Either I'm firing for effect or I'm trying to reinforce something or I'm just fucking with people's heads one way or the other. But, you know, I put stuff up and I put it up to inspire people to think, you know.
You know what? I love some of your like spiritual posts that you do about warriors and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I do that. Like I try to do something once a week. You know, I'll put a string of stuff up. You know, but it's to get people to think about their life. You know, most people are just like sitting there with a friggin' shoebox on their head, walking around, bouncing off the walls, going, "My life's fucked up." Really? No shit, Jack. You know, why don't you try opening your eyes, getting connected to the earth a little bit, and, you know, living life instead of walking around in circles, you know.
Right.
But everybody, you know, they got their head up their ass, and they're like, my life sucks. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, it's like, well, just take my gun and blow your brains out and spare me, okay? You know, it's like, please.
Yeah, stop whining about it. Get up and fucking do something.
Really, you're wasting my fucking oxygen. Do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like people get so caught up in themselves, and that's the problem. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, it's all about playing the game, PR, you know, getting people on your page, getting people to buy what you do. You know, where the problem comes is when it goes to your fucking head. And you start thinking, I'm fucking great, you know? And we know who we're talking about. I'm fucking great, man. I can sell my shirt for fucking $7,000. I'm fucking great, you know?
Right.
You got to always be able to remember where you came from. Remember you're no different than anyone else. Remember that all those people out there that you're thinking about shitting upon are the people that put you where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you keep that in your mind, there's no amount of fame or fortune that's going to change you.
I agree. Yeah.
I always have people saying, don't forget me when you're rich and famous. It's like, why the fuck would I forget you? You've been the biggest pain in my ass since for the last 20 years. How could I forget you?
No. Right?
No?
I know. I've heard that too. Or like you know,
it's because of the
things that I've done, people think like, I don't know that I'm bigger than I am. And I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, you can't let that shit go to your head.
No, you can't, because it's stupid, first of all.
No.
It's just glitter. It's just glitter. Mm-hmm. And eventually the glitter fades. And then what are you going to do if you base your whole life on, oh, man, I'm wild about me, you know, I'm cool. And then all of a sudden you suck. Your life's in the toilet. I refuse to go that route. You know, to me, fame is a necessary evil to get a job done. And you know, if I've got to do it, I'm going to do it the absolute best way I can do it. I'm going to try to touch as many people's lives in a positive manner, and I'm going to continue to live my life. I'm still going to be Dave at the end of the day, you know. At the end of the day, I'll be leaning forward with that V in my face, sticking my tongue between it, you know. So that's just how it is. I always love these scientific discussions that we have on your show, Jody.
Well, we had your partner in crime on once.
Who was that?
Dr. Kevin, your partner in crime. Who is he?
My partner in crime.
Yeah, I think he's a parapsychologist. Professor. What is his name? We had him on the show, Kevin, and we were talking to him about David.
I can't remember now.
Well,
so many people talk about me.
We'll figure
wasn't
it out.
Was it Tom Fusco? Was it
We had him. We've had
because I'm sure Tom talked about me.
It was probably
And we did have a parapsychologist that's been in the field for a good long while, and he mentioned you as well in a good way.
What was it, Lloyd Arbuck?
Yes.
Yeah, I
know. I've known Lloyd for a long time. I mean, we've known each other. We've never actually sat down and face-to-face and talked, but we have talked over the Internet back and forth about different things. But, yeah, Lloyd's a good guy. We're both associated with the Ryan Research Center, and he actually teaches there. He does a lot more than I do. I just kind of, like, support it. But Lloyd's a good guy. He's been around for a long time, too. It's funny, you know, all the people that I know, I mean, I know all the key players. And we're all friends. We all get along. None of us really agree with everything the other's doing. And yet we all get along. We don't argue. We just don't go where we have disagreements.
And you know what? It should be like that.
It should be like that.
You should still have respect, even though you have different points of view. And that is where we're going to have a breakthrough. You know that? By having different people with different views that one person that, you know, everybody says, no, they're not doing it right. That person might stumble upon something that opens a key to what we're all seeking.
It inspires thought.
Uh-huh.
That's the whole point, you know. It's like, don't believe what I say. Prove it to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's the whole thing. I mean, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, dear friend of mine, love her to death, love her books on demons and angels and love her stuff. She's got some ideas that I think are just, you know, wacko, you know. John Zaffis, same thing, love John Zaffis to death. We get along great. You know, he has some ideas I don't agree with. All of us have ideas that we have amongst ourselves that we don't agree with. But you know what? We don't talk about them. We just don't go there.
And you don't have to dislike, people.
I'm sure there's things that I do that just, you know, make them just go crazy. But we just don't go there. I mean, we acknowledge each other for what we've contributed to the field. And we talk amongst ourselves, and we have a lot of fun, but we don't have bones of contention with each other, you know?
Right.
You don't have to agree with everything I do to be my friend. I don't have to agree with everything you do to be your friend.
Yeah, everybody's so quasi opinionated. Oh, my God.
You know?
It's like, who gives a shit, man?
Exactly.
Who gives a shit?
Exactly. You know, and what am I going to do? I'm going to find out somebody I've been friends with for 10 or 15 years has done something that I don't agree with. What am I going to do, try to butcher them in public? That's stupid.
It is stupid.
You know? It is stupid. It's counterproductive. It does nothing. So, you know, I'm friends with everybody. I mean, I don't have any grief with anybody. I mean, the people, I choose my battles very carefully. And, you know, if I'm in a battle with somebody, there's usually a pretty... There's
that's
usually a pretty damn good reason. Exactly. I mean, if I'm in a battle with somebody, there's a pretty damn good reason why I'm wasting my time to be in that battle.
You got that right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because battles are a waste of time.
They are, unless they're worth destroying. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to do revenge. You know?
You do.
And, you know, you have to crush somebody for screwing you up, things like that.
We're just fucking up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That shit is not going to fly.
But see, the thing is anytime.
I don't give a shit, but there is one line I don't like crossed, and, yeah, I'll fight for that one.
You know, well, it's true, but I'm just saying, when you're fighting, it's taking you away from doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that's, with me, it's research.
Yeah.
So if I'm fighting somebody, I'm not doing any research because I'm busy putting all my wiles into destroying this fucker, and I'm not getting anything else done. So it's counterproductive for me to even go there.
For the most part, I just fucking laugh shit off.
People but there's some people that
they said,
you know,
about like, yeah.
There's some people, though, however, I will go out of my way to fuck with, so... You know, there are some people that have earned that, and you know, that's just how it is. But damn, we're almost out of time, aren't we?
Yeah.
Damn. Shit.
Boy, that's amazing.
That was great.
I don't think we talked about more than three things scientific in that whole interview. But it was fun.
No, we got a lot out about your book and Ghost Fox.
That's true. But that's not very scientific. That's true.
And a lot of your personal life and
we have to air my laundry because, you know, everybody's just wanting to know.
Hey man. go out, you know.
But I just want everybody to know that I am absolutely ecstatically happy with the way my life is going. I have a good woman that supports what I do and that understands me, and I don't have to play games, and there's no compromise, and it's wonderful, and, you know, life is good. Life is good.
Good. All right, is there anything that you want to plug?
Nah, I just tell people if you want to find me, Google me. You know, it's probably easier to do that than me to give out the hundreds of damn things that I've got going all over the place.
Go get your book information again.
Yeah, book information is actually the best way to find it. Right now, the book that's selling is Paranormal Technology, Understanding the Science of Ghost Hunting. You can go to my website, www.spinvestigations.org, and click on the book image, and it'll take you to all sorts of purchase links, including a free preview of the book. And Demon Street USA, which will be coming out in August, is in pre-sales right now in Amazon. You can go into Amazon, type Demon Street USA, my name, take you right to the page. You can order it now and get a discount if you order it ahead of time, and you will be the first to get the book before it hits the bookshelves in the bookstores. And it is going to be in every brick-and-mortar bookstore in the United States and several foreign countries. So you will be able to just go out and buy it in the bookstore as well.
Nice.
I think Walmart's even going to carry it. So,
oh, my God, that's
cool.
So great.
That's right. I'm going to be, like, you know, selling books to Wally World people. So that'll
be cool. I'm proud of you.
Well, it's been a long road.
Yeah, you know what?
And thank you.
This, you deserve this. And
thank you, Jody.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jody. And you know what? I'm proud of you, too. So, you know what? We've come a long ways since we first became criminals and outlaws and whatever. So, but, yeah, I'm proud of you, too. You've got a lot going on, and you launched the new site. I was very happy. I tried to help promote that for you.
Yeah, thank you.
The cameras, I think it's a great idea, and hopefully that takes off. And I was just really excited for you. That's great that you guys finally got all the bugs out and going with it. So,
yeah.
Good job.
And you know what? Two more companies are coming after this one. So
great.
I look forward to letting those out. And yeah. I'm excited. You know, and I'm okay with them failing, too. Because seriously, like I said before, it's about trying. It's not about succeeding. My intentions are 100% in trying to help these places out and also trying to capture evidence to, you know, help us as investigators further explore some of the things that are going on in these places.
There's nothing better than helping someone else out when you're helping yourself.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
that's the ultimate.
I'm
that's
doing
the,
what I love. I'm doing what I love, and I'm standing behind what I love. And so
the
if you do that well, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it because I tried.
That's right. The ultimate entrepreneurship is to help someone while helping yourself.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate condition to be in as an entrepreneur. Because you're always going to be happy and you're always going to be making somebody happy. And what better thing to do than that?
I know, right? It does feel good. It does feel good, I'm not going to lie.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm having those good feelings myself right now, you know. And
you're going to have a good feeling coming up this weekend, baby.
Yep.
You're going to have a blast. I'm excited.
Yeah, you know what?
I want to hear all about it when you're back. So maybe
We're going to take pictures, so it's
going
to be an adventure.
I want to hear stories. I want to hear stories. So you'll have to call back in when you get back in town, whether it's a week afterwards or whatever. But I do want you to call back in and tell us about your adventure because I know you're
You know what you should do is have us both on. That might be even more entertaining.
Yeah. You guys call in and, you know, what day are you getting back next week? Did you say?
I'll be back the following Sunday, the 16th. I'll be back late that evening. So the week after that, I should be.
When you get back, call in and just tell us how it went.
Oh, I sure will.
Yeah, I want to hear about it.
Yeah. It's our story is so special that we will probably be telling it on the radio before long. So because there's a lot about our story that no one knows yet, and it's just a very touching, moving, fascinating story that we are still trying to make sense out of. So,
you know, I need some love in my life, so I'd love to hear about, you know, live love through other people. So I'd love to listen to it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, David, for coming on.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me. I mean, you know, I love you guys. It's
I love
great
you.
To be here.
I love you.
And it's always fun, you know, it's always fun coming on with you and Jody because I never know what the fuck to expect. So, you know.
Well, next time we'll have our future fundraiser figured out, you know.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, I'll take my shirt off.
We have to be at this event.
That's right. I'll take my shirt off. Oh, my God.
We could put the auction on eBay.
There you go.
Mm. All right, David. Have a great night and try to survive the snow.
All right. You guys take care and hope to see you guys soon.
Wonderful.
Good night, guys.
Good night. I love him. He's so freaking awesome. What is not to love? He is a genuine, true person, and he doesn't give a shit what anybody thinks as long as he's making himself happy and he's trying to make the right decisions. That's what I love about him.
Oh, definitely. Next Tuesday, another friend of yours and mine, we will have Justin Chase Mullins on the show.
Oh my God, I got to think of some fun stuff. I'm really excited about having Justin on. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. We have him on. I got us booked all the way up. My next open date is March 25th, and I might have that booked, too. So I've been working it, Jody.
I actually have somebody, too, that wants to come on. So I'll send you that person. And, Yeah, cool. I'm glad.
So that's good. What do I have? Next Sunday, I need to hit them up too. I will have next Sunday on URN Radio Show, I will have the All-Girl Paranormal Society on the show with myself, Martin, and Jeff. So, yeah, they're coming on this show.
Aren't we having them on?
Yeah, they're going to be on our show in March.
Okay.
So,
next week we'll have to tell them about him a little bit.
Do what?
I said next week after you interview them, you'll have to tell me a little bit about them.
I sure will. Yeah. And like I said, we have Justin Chase Mullins next Tuesday. Tomorrow is Full Spectrum Radio with Matt and Dennis. And hopefully... keep up with us. We might have a new show starting this Saturday with the Debunker Boys. So a little bit more controversial show coming onto the network. So something a little bit different.
Awesome.
I look at it like this, like I told the guys. They say, well, we get hate mail all the time. I said, hey, man. Any kind of publicity is good publicity, the way I look at it, and it'll bring people to listen to your show, whether they hate you or like you.
Yeah. Well, I didn't log into the account, so you're in charge of the board, and can you play one of my songs, though, that you left floated for me? Hello? Mayday, copy.